Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Truth be told, Sue, I played this song for a reason, and I swear that I sent myself an email last night about the reason, because I think I've said this before. I follow this guy, Eric Alper, and he's got gazillion followers, and he always does this little bit of music history. You do a lot of music history, but I thought that there was something that was tied into this from yesterday or this week that was the anniversary of the release, and now I'm driving myself crazy because I'm looking at my email. I'm like, wait a second, maybe I didn't send that.
Listen, I get it.
Maybe I put it into my drafts. Let's see if it's in my drafts, because I was sitting around last night, and sometimes I don't press send. Anyway, it's a good song anyway, regardless, right?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Anytime I can hear RiRi.
Exactly.
I'm happy.
Absolutely. Our friend Alex Rich is here, who joins us on a Wednesday. How are you? It's been a little crazy out there. We have video that's coming up from this tornado that might have touched down, and we're seeing Fox reports and others in Wildwood, in St. Peter's, with some trees down. You had some close calls, didn't
you,
a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I was. I live right in the Clayton area, and the storm hit just a couple streets over, so I was out of power for... Now, I always like to start off with... I'm very lucky that all I was
right.
out of power.
Right.
But I was out of power for about 4 days and had a big tree fall in the front yard that blocked my driveway in.
Ooh.
And actually, all the neighbors came together. You wouldn't have believed this thing. I mean, they had handsaws. Not even, there was nobody on my street, I guess, that has a chainsaw. So all of my neighbors came to help chop the tree up to get it off my driveway so I could get my car.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, isn't that something?
Yes.
I would think that most people probably, do you have a chainsaw, Fred? Are you out there with the chainsaw?
No, I don't.
Becky's aunt actually has an electric chainsaw, and I needed it at one point. I borrowed it, and I'm really good at giving people things back when I borrow it. It's still in my garage. I've never used it to this day. She said it worked okay, but yeah, I guess most people wouldn't have those. You can cut your arms and legs off with them, so I kind of tend to avoid that.
I don't try my hand at them. It was a lot of damage, obviously.
We will keep people posted on this afternoon. I mean, this just happened so quickly a couple hours ago, and some of the images and the pictures are coming through right now. And since we're on a scary topic, before we get into Sue's news, let me share another scary topic. And with the news cycle, I feel like there are important things that are not being discussed. I'll give you one example I'm going to talk about in the next hour. Sue, or even Alex, do you know much about how the drone attack from the Ukrainians took place inside of Russia on Sunday?
No clue.
It's like a movie script. It is like a Mission Impossible movie or, you know, something like that. When you hear the details, they had to sneak them in. the drones because they didn't have the range to be launched from Ukraine. They snuck them in these boxes, and then they automatically, you know, fired them off. The details are just fascinating. But then there's this one. That's actually one where President Trump has indicated today that he spoke with Putin, and he was talking about some of the stuff with Iran and with nukes, which I think is important to the whole planet. If you think about it, Putin says, of course, on this, well, we have to respond because it was a devastating attack and a real, real big score of victory for the Ukrainians. But then there's this dangerous biological pathogen, which I didn't really get into much of the details here today. This is a toxic fungus that has been, or at least smuggled into the U.S. Sue, do you know much about this?
I don't.
Okay. So in Michigan, the U.S. Attorney's Office has accused someone named Yung-Gwin John, who is a researcher at the University of Michigan, and then also, and I'm going to get the pronounces, you know, wrong here, Zhengwan Li, who is a researcher at a university in China, of working together to smuggle into the United States samples of something called, and forgive me if I'm getting this wrong, Fusarium graminearum, right? Which is described as a noxious fungus. So what this does is it causes, there's all kinds of terms here I've never heard in my entire life, head blight disease. But the head blight disease is not in us. The head blight disease is in wheat, barley, corn, and other crops. And what it does, it affects crop quality and yield outbreaks, or I'm sorry, and yield, and outbreaks have been reported in several countries. So what they do is they bring it into this country. Now, let me just state this. And Fred, you know this because we covered it, so you know it as well. When all these people were streaming across the border, one of the things that I said, and I covered this a lot, was, you know, Bill Malusian's down there at the border, and we're not only seeing people from South America. We're not just seeing people from Mexico stream across the border. He sat there on several days where he had the cameras running. There were streams of either African nationals or Chinese nationals who were all men that were coming into our southern border. That doesn't make sense at all, right? The only person covering that, to my knowledge, was Bill Malusian. So now you have a situation where this fungus, because of the toxins, can cause vomiting, liver damage. There's a Science Journal article that says the fungus is a potential agro-terrorism weapon that could be used for targeting food crops. Ari Fleischer responded to this earlier today. This is frightening. And this kind of ties in with, and this is where I think I can relate here with what Ari's about to say and what I'm going to play you. I've been raving about this 9/11 documentary. It's really more of an Osama bin Laden documentary called Manhunt, The Hunt for Osama bin Laden, that's on Netflix. Alex, have you seen it yet?
I have not.
It is amazing. Ethan watched it. He could not stop. He binged it, all three episodes, in you know, one night. Now, I think we all, if we're being honest, have said since then, that was 30 years ago, right? So you say to yourself, man, we're really lucky that nothing's happened on our soil. But then if it does happen, you're not going to, you know, crash planes into big, tall buildings, what else could happen? Well, something like this could be devastating.
What this takes me back to is after September 11th. After September 11th, the CIA concluded and they said to the White House, that is not a question of if, it's a question of when there will be a second attack. Mm. And the second attack that we feared the most and prepared the hardest to prevent was a biological attack, because that can cause the greatest destruction. And don't forget, we're dealing with a China that regularly hacks and infiltrates America's industrial infrastructure. They have made it a state business to get inside American systems, to disrupt them, to steal from us, to take, to harm us.
So these two people were a romantic couple. She is teaching at the University of Michigan. He is still in China at this point. So she's been taken into custody. The affidavit from the U.S. Attorney's Office says that they were both studying biological pathogens that can infect crops, with Jian working as a postdoctoral fellow at the Molecular Plant Microbe Interaction Laboratory. That's a mouthful. At the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. They say that he tried to smuggle samples. Wait, I want to make sure I'm identifying she. That she attempted to smuggle samples of the fungus from China into the U.S.
Jeez.
In July of last year, visiting, I reversed the genders again because the names are a little tricky. It was he who was trying to smuggle. His girlfriend was here. So they said that he was stopped at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport. He was questioned by Customs Border Protection officers. They searched his backpack. Listen to this. They found four transparent plastic bags containing different strains of Fusarium graminearum. They were inside a wad of crumpled T-shirts. So how nuts is that?
Wow.
According to the FBI, this is another favorite part. According to the FBI affidavit, He initially told officers he didn't know how the samples got into his bag. After further questioning, he told the officers that he hid the samples because he knew that there were restrictions on the importation of the materials and that he planned to clone the strains to make more samples and conduct research on the samples at the laboratory where his girlfriend works. So eventually he goes back, and I don't know why they didn't crack down on him right there. He goes back and he's in China. He'll never probably come back here. But how scary is that? Now, this is Senator Schmidt talking about this.
We shouldn't be lax on this at all. The full force of law should come down on, should prevent anyone associated with the CCP from being at any of our universities.
I would say that that's something that should be looked at very, very carefully. I mean, that is frightening. And if something like that takes off anywhere in this country, it could be devastating to us. So I don't know how you address that from a diplomatic standpoint when you're the president of the United States. All right. The show started by calling audibles. We had all this weather. We were simulcasting our sister station, KMOX, on the other side of the building. Michael Calhoun, Dave Murray was on the coverage. We usually do Sue's News right now. Alex, you're visiting with us.
I'm ready.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little break here. We're going to get Dave on the air. We'll move Sue's News. I'm just going to make an executive decision. We'll move Sue's News to after 4:30 this afternoon. It's more reason to listen because everyone loves Sue. So hang in there. We'll take a quick break. We got to catch up just a little bit. We'll come back with more. We'll do Sue's News at the bottom of the hour, if that's cool with everyone. And really, you don't have a choice because I made that decision. All right, we're coming back. Hang in there. Sue, I put this one in here before Sue's News because I know you love George Strait.
I do.
I love this song so much. Alex Rich is here, who visits on a Wednesday. Fred Bottomer, of course, Ethan Hannaford holding down the fort. And he has to do a lot today because of the narrative changing. So we started the show in some severe weather coverage. Dave Murray was on our sister station. We simulcasted that. Sue's News is going to take place. Never fear. It will happen in the next segment. We're just kind of have to adjust on the fly here this afternoon. But we want to welcome Dave on because he was very busy, fast and furious about an hour ago. Hi, Dave Murray. How are you?
By three.
Whoop, that's not the right one. That's usually where it is. Ethan, you might have to help me with this because this is another one of those things that you don't anticipate. Well, what happened was, I'm just going to tell people what happened. When we were doing the simulcast, the part of my board that goes to phone, we had to switch over. Ethan had to dial things up. So now I don't have what would be called the pot. It's just an old radio term, if you will, to go to Dave Murray. So Ethan's going to work his magic here, and we'll get Dave. There we go. It's magic.
There we are. Sorry about that.
You did a great job in the last hour.
Thank you. I can't believe you're without the pot.
That's rare moment that it is. So, wow, this kind of just happened fast, didn't it?
It did. It really did. And it was very, very isolated. It just happened to really pop right over western St. Louis County. And that appears right along 109 in that particular area. Wildwood appears that where most of the damage is, with trees down, power lines down, some structural damage, I think. It wasn't anything like the tornado we had a couple of weeks ago, but it really spun up, and then it kind of started, it looked like it was going east, and then all of a sudden it shifted to the north-northeast, and it actually kind of faded as far as the rotation of a tornado, and then it developed a little micro-low pressure system right over St. Charles. That helped rain the whole thing out and take the severe stuff away. With that said, there's still very heavy rain in portions of downtown St. Louis, North St. Louis, and into St. Louis County, especially central and eastern portions of St. Louis County down into northern Jefferson County. That it's not severe, still pouring rain with quite a bit of lightning. And that's kind of the pattern we're going to be in over the next couple of hours. I do think they'll get the ball game in, but they're at the beginning front of that. And we'll see what happens. But and then the next, you know, Thursday doesn't look like a lot of action. Friday, the severe threat ramps back up again, especially during the afternoon. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. The weekend still has a chance of a couple of showers, but for the most part, a good portion of dry time over the weekend, a little bit warmer, 80 Saturday, 86 on Sunday. So the good news is we're out of the severe threat now for the rest of the afternoon and into the evening.
Well, as you might imagine, Dave, and you know this, but nerves are certainly on edge, and maybe the only good thing that happened from a few weeks ago is people are paying attention and, you know, taking action and seeking shelter. When this all goes off, everyone kind of clicks into a different gear here in this area, for sure, based on what happened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we saw
Severe storm situation.
We can't hear him right now, can we?
No.
That's another one of those.
He was talking
issues.
About the blizzard
See if
of 82.
Comes back. Dave, are you there?
I am here.
Yeah, we lost you there for a second. I couldn't hear what you said. Sorry.
Yeah, we go on high alert after big weather events. And then after that, things kind of calm down and we lose perspective and we lose concern until the next big thing happens. But you're absolutely right. All of a sudden, tornado warning is issued. Everybody is on high alert. In fact, I heard from some people don't even live in St. Louis saying, I can't believe it, another tornado warning for the city of St. Louis, you know, kind of thing. These are the weather nuts that I know around the country.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, jinxed each other right there. So just because we've heard maybe the game might be in jeopardy, but you think that the rain's going to move out here in the next couple hours, just to be clear?
Yeah, I think, you know, the tarp's on the field, obviously. That's going to take some time to prep the field, get the tarp off, prep the field. That typically takes a good hour, but we've got at least another hour of some fair.
Oh, man.
Now we lost him for sure. Well, we won't go back.
Thanks,
just technology.
Dave.
Thank you, Dave Murray. If you can hear us, we appreciate it. And I think we got pretty much the full picture of what he was describing. Now, on the game front, because, man, there's a lot of moving parts here this afternoon. Ethan, what are you hearing about that? Do you know any answers about the game tonight?
So Derek Gould tweeted just a few minutes ago, 11 minutes ago, saying that the Cardinals are shifting their pitching to prepare for a doubleheader on Thursday. He said to expect an official announcement here imminently, and lots of tweets about it from Bush. Michaelis and Liberatore will start games tomorrow. So what it sounds like to me is it's not official, but it's going to be official very soon.
Let me look here at the email, because the Cardinals sent emails. Nothing has been sent out at this point, but we'll keep you posted on that. By the way, Ethan and Alex, let me drag you into this, because were you taking BP with Tony La Russa watching you and coaching you yesterday?
Yeah, you know, I was. I was indeed. This was
last
week.
Last week, okay.
It was actually my birthday. You didn't tell me happy birthday.
I did, too, tell you happy birthday.
I think you maybe
did. Go check your texts. Hang on.
Okay.
See, I just checked the email. It just came up. They have postponed the game tonight. Okay, so here's the release. Ethan's on top of this. The game will be made up tomorrow at 12:45 as a split doubleheader. So as usual, Derek Gould, who really, in my opinion, is like one of the only things that's valuable over there at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He's a great reporter, has been for a long time. He was on top of this, and yeah, we got a doubleheader tomorrow. So that's confirmed. Go ahead. So that was last week.
So last week, it was on my birthday. It was Friday, and we do batting practice on the field over there in the sales department. A couple times a year, we take some of the clients out there, and to our surprise, Tony La Russa happened to be there this time. Yeah, how about that? And that was cool because usually it's, you know, you got Scott Terry, Scott Cooper, you know, you'll have Kyle McClellan out there, the guys that do the
fantasy camps. Right, yeah.
And we're sitting in the dugout and on the field just strolls Tony La Russa. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And everybody was kind of confused. Even the guys in charge running the thing, they were all shocked that Tony was there. And I guess Tony knew one of the clients that was out there and was in town, I guess, promoting an event or doing an event that he has coming up.
And he's always doing events, right?
And it was awesome, man.
Was he in good shape? Did he look healthy?
You know, it's funny because I saw him a couple of years ago and I thought, man, Tony doesn't look that great. He looked pretty good. I thought he looked. How old's Tony La Russa these days?
That's actually a good question.
I don't know. Stand by.
But Ethan, you're going to go in on that?
It was unbelievable. Look, it's not every day. And I even said this to like Scott Cooper. I said, dude, it's not every day you get out here and you get to take swings in front of living, you know, managing
legends.
Right. He goes, dude, there are people that play the major leagues for a long time that have never taken swings in front of Tony La Russa.
He's 80 years old.
Now, we've made this clear. Most people probably wouldn't remember this. Alex and I, we go way back. We're friends. But Alex played baseball at Indiana University. You backed up Kyle Schwarber.
I was Kyle Schwarber's backup.
He's done a little bit better than you professionally in baseball. But, I mean, are you still swinging the bat in okay fashion? How'd you do?
I still swing it pretty well. I hit one out last year.
You did?
Oh, that's
fun.
I did hit one out last year.
Impressive.
That's awesome.
Which it's tougher than, I mean, you might think it's tough.
I would think it's tough.
It's even tougher.
I
want to
get it out of the infield.
No, I wouldn't get it past the pitcher mound. Yeah, and that's even with a bunt. You know, I probably couldn't get very far.
It's tough. No, I didn't get any out this year. I got a couple one-hoppers. So I got warning track power. I do. I put some good hard swings on it.
You know what they say about that?
What do they say about
weight
it?
Room. Get in the weight room.
Look, I
been
play,
in the weight room. It just
Ethan,
doesn't help.
I can't ever remember. Do you play golf, Ethan, or not?
I'm getting into it.
Okay, so
I just got clubs for Christmas.
This guy.
Mark is also still getting into it.
Unfortunately. But when you play golf with Alex Rich, I mean, when you get a hold of one, and let's be honest, they spray this way and that way.
Left and
but
right.
When he gets a hold of one, it's 300 yards.
Easy.
You can so we especially in like some of the in the scrambles, you're going off at some pretty, you know, comfortable tees, like the white tees, if you will. And the goal on a scramble, everybody hits their drive, right? And it's the closest to the hole. So when I've played with Alex before, you can even, you know, hit a good drive in our foursome, and then we look for Alex's ball, and it's like 100 yards further than some of us.
Yeah, I'm there for one reason at a scramble. I drive in, and then
thing.
I put the clubs back in the bag and crack the beer open.
But we appreciate that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna take a quick break here for some business news in just a second, and then Sue, you are fully armed with a Wednesday edition of Sue's News, right?
Yes.
And then Fred, guide me through the rest of this because things have changed so much. I mean, I'm going to be so frustrated at the end of the show because I really want to talk about this drone attack. I want to get into a couple other things. We're going to talk about the special session and the whole Kansas City sporting complex compromise with Scott Vaughn, who is the host of This Week in Missouri. Typically, Scott's a guest during the legislative session. They have a special session. Nick Schwer, state senator, revealed that. Oh, I got to get out right now. Oh, my gosh. All right. Ethan's giving me the windup. I forgot about that. My brain is still a little scrambled here. We're coming back, though. We will have Sue's News in a moment. All right, so Wednesday afternoon, a little crazy afternoon because of the severe weather. We thank Dave Murray, even though he kind of faded on us with the technology just a few minutes ago. We'll keep you updated on any other damage reports that come in. Fred is here in the studio. Sue has Sue's News. Alex Rich is here, and Ethan Hannaford. I just want to mention one thing before Sue's News. So my daughter has been at a softball camp at Rockwood Summit this week, and you know, I drop her off, and then I go pick her up. And when I drove back home this morning, I left my garage open. Probably shouldn't admit that for the thieves out there. My garage was open, and I pull into the driveway, and I look in the middle of the floor of my garage. I'm like, what the hell is that? Sue, it was a little box turtle.
Oh, he was
is
so
that right?
cute.
He was
I saw
cute.
Him on somewhere on the socials.
I put it on the Twitter. I put it on the Twitter.
Oh, seems so meant to be.
Yeah, he was just sitting there in the middle of the garage floor, so Alexa picked him up and moved him to the creek, and I think he's going to do okay. I didn't know if it was one of those, you know, I've been fishing in times where a snapping turtle has become an issue, but he had a really interesting coloring to him.
So and pretty.
I've seen turtles before, but this one had a lot of
yellow.
Surprised
about the ending of this story, though.
Why? Because we
well,
didn't
I'm
adopt
surprised
it?
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't join the Reardon Zoo.
Yeah, we're too full at this point. That's what I'll say.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Finally, a good day we can get behind. It's National Cheese Day.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, good. Oh,
that's better than that's whatever weirdness
you
they
know,
throw out.
The only
out.
Thing I've eaten today is two pieces of string cheese.
What is
I
happening?
Had no idea. That is meant to be.
Wait a minute. Are you one of these people who say, I forgot to eat
no,
lunch?
You know, I just really okay. haven't really had a chance to sit down and get something nutritious in my body.
That's fair.
I like the string cheese now and again.
It's really,
yeah.
It is great.
Uh-huh. It's handy. You can take it places. Mm-hmm. I like the kind that they put it next to like a salami one. You can buy them as a twofer.
Oh, yeah.
One's the string cheese and the salami. Oh, it's unbeatable. Fred, you're looking at
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah.
You
no,
should
no,
try.
No. We've got lots of string cheese in our refrigerator. Yeah.
All right. On this day in history, 58 years ago, this has some music, but it starts quickly. In 1967, the Monkees.
Here we come.
Go ahead.
Won the Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Series. Really?
Well,
I guess mean, it was.
I did really.
What year?
67?
Well, okay. I mean, what was it up against?
And I had that printed out, but I forgot Sue's News and rewrote it, and then I missed that little thing.
Because, you know, back then.
Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, I would have gone with Hogan's Heroes.
See? Yeah. And there was something else that I'd heard
Alex,
of.
Alex, do you know either of these
well,
shows?
Well, let me tell you. Hogan's Heroes actually brings back great memories because when we would go travel for baseball growing up, we would stay in the hotel, and it would be on
one of
late
the
night. My
channels.
Dad would be watching Hogan's Heroes, and I fell in love. I was a big Hogan's Heroes fan. That
love
and the
that.
Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah,
Colonel
there
Clint
you go.
Oh, that was the other one. Thank you. It was against Andy Griffith and Hogan's Heroes, and they picked the Monkees. But
I
okay.
I don't know anything about the Muppets. They had a show?
Yeah,
they had a show. And they still tour. I mean, whoever's alive, I can't remember who's alive, but Mickey Dolenz, they still go out and they play music out there. So this was a little different. We had an Archie's reference a couple of days ago, and the Archies yes. were like a comic strip. Do you know the Archies?
I'd heard of them.
Jughead, Archie. Uh-huh. So that was like a comic strip.
So... Yeah, this is crazy. So the show Riverdale is based
yeah,
on...
Yeah,
okay.
yes,
okay.
yes, yes,
all right, all right.
Yes. That's how the kids would know it. But this was actually... I can't remember the whole backstory, but they put this group together, and I don't know if they
yeah,
played...
it was manufactured. Some of them,
yeah, it was yeah. a manufactured group for the TV show, but they played music, and I think some of them actually played the instruments, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, we're going to roll.
We know it won the Emmy. That's all we know.
It won an Emmy. Okay. I just thought that was weird. And since we've got music pulled up, let's talk about Rick Astley.
Let's talk about Rick Astley. Let's talk about him for sure. You know what's crazy about this? I swear this is true. Last night, I'm sitting on my couch, and my daughter starts singing this song.
What?
And I said to her, I said, how do you know that song? Now, she knows a lot of songs because of the movie Pitch Perfect. But then she said to me, I don't know. I don't know. And she didn't even see any reference to what you're about to say. So tell
the
story.
Rick roll.
And then I'll say, yes, well,
exactly.
that's part of it.
This is Rick Astley, of course, Never Gonna Give You Up fame. He has hit 1 billion with a B streams on Spotify.
It's not surprising. It's not.
And it's because of the whole Rick Roll thing?
Do you know, I saw Rick Astley, it was about 2 years ago, I think he came with like New Kids on the Block or something, I'm not making this up. He came out probably 7 or 8 different times throughout the night.
What?
And performed this same song 7 or 8 different times. I'm dead serious.
The joke was he was Rick Rolling them?
Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. That's hilarious.
Night. The whole entire night.
Just so people are
hilarious.
Clear, if you have not been Rickrolled, the internet prank is that people are kind of tricked into viewing this video
yes.
for the song. Now, the song was a big hit in 1987. I'd say maybe it was kind of a one-hit wonder. But, you know, what happens is, and this also happens with men, and I get what's the dude's name, the guy with the giant, you know what. People do this
the picture.
Right, the picture.
Yeah.
I don't need to get more embarrassed than it is. But it's sort of a version of that where people try to get you to click a link. Yeah, and then it's this, and that's what happened. Now, Rick Astley has actually addressed this on social media, the 1 billion streams.
Who would have believed, after all these years, Never Gonna Give You Up has had 1 billion streams on Spotify. That's 1 billion streams. How amazing. Thank you for listening. And lots of love. And I'll see you all soon, I hope. 1 billion and 1. Who knows?
Now, I learned something today. Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know he was British.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Yeah,
there you go. Okay,
that.
I have to say, Alex, that is hilarious that they did that and brought him
great.
In like 7 or 8 times.
But it's perfect because... if you have a one-hit wonder and you know that you're famous for the one-hit wonder, then just go out there and do it a bunch of times.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Now, you guys, okay, I think we all know in this room that I love Nick Lowe, right? And
right.
Nick Lowe did what I would have to call a rebuttal song after the Rick Astley hit with this, Never Gonna Give You Up. And here's a little bit of it. It's called All Men Are Liars.
He had a big fat pit, it was ghastly.
Oh, this is awesome.
He said, I'm never gonna give you up or let you down. Well, I'm here to tell you that Dick's a clown.
Oh.
Though he was just a boy when he made that. I bet it all that he knows by now. All men are liars. Their words ain't worth.
Who knows every word?
Yeah,
it's
that
awesome.
Is amazing. And you know, I love Nick Lowe as well, but I was not familiar with that.
That's great.
What a great reaction. He's kind of a little mean to Rick Astley,
but he was younger too.
Right.
You know,
I wonder what that. By the way. That has to, when you got 1 billion streams, you're monetizing that in a big way. I wonder what the checks are to Rick Astley every month just from that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Seriously, it is a good question.
We need to find that out.
Did you guys hear this story? The guitar that Michael J. Fox shreds on at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance in Back to the Future, it's this cherry red Gibson ES-345. I don't actually know what that means. Do you know what that means, Alex?
It's a very good guitar.
Okay. Well, it's been missing since 1985, and Gibson wants to find it. And they have even made a Have You Seen This Guitar poster with all the details and the stars of the movie. And I mean everybody. Michael J. Fox. They've got all of them in a video.
Okay, here we go. We got audio of this.
Hi, Michael J. Fox. You may know me as Marty McFly.
There's something very important that all of us are involved with.
We need your help.
We are on the lookout for a missing guitar.
We're trying to find the guitar. The guitar I played in Back to the Future.
No one's seen that guitar since 1985, and we need to find it.
Somehow, it's vanished.
Erased from existence.
It's somewhere lost in the space-time continuum, or it's in some Teamster's garage.
This guitar has been lost to the future. Or there might be a paradox.
It's pretty long, but...
Wow, that's interesting.
And it's kind of cool to see, because at the very end, Huey Lewis comes out and hugs Michael J. Fox. Aww. It's kind of sweet.
Yeah, we're trying to get Bob Gale, since he was in here in studio a few couple months ago, and we had a great time with him.
St. Louis guy, he wrote Back to the Future. Right. The story behind that is fascinating. He came in when they did Back to the Future, the musical at the Fox, which, by the way, I didn't think it was that great. But we love Bob Gale, and we love the history here in St. Louis. But, I mean, what hope would they have of actually finding this thing?
Well, here's what happened. The guitar was rented from Norman's Rare Guitars in L.A., and returned after they were done with it in the movie. And then nobody knows where it went after that. They took it back to the shop, and then it's gone. And it's likely that somebody just bought it from Norman's, and there's no record of the sale.
Right.
And they think if somebody did, they'd like to contact them and get it back.
So, tie in here, you might remember, we had the director of Norman's Rare Guitars. That is a legendary shop in Los Angeles. I have a Norman's Rare Guitars t-shirt now. But that documentary, which I think is on Netflix, is amazing.
Ooh, I've got to see it.
Watch that documentary.
Norman's Rare Guitars. Trailer for it. It's
you
awesome.
You would love it. Yeah. There's so many. It's called Norman's Rare Guitars.
I'll
It is on Netflix?
Yeah, I think it was called. Yes, it's on Netflix. I'll look this up because, you know, there's so many of these things that are up there. But, yeah.
And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. And this is random. It's a little bit for Mark. Okay. There's a tiny epoxy shield inside of an aluminum soda can. Otherwise, the soda would make the can corrode in just 3 days. Think about what you're drinking.
Well, but is that right?
That's what they coat it with so that it doesn't eat through it.
But I've even said...
And you're off the stuff right now.
But right now, like, I've had no Diet Cokes today
at
all.
Right? You feel a little...
Two yesterday. I'm kind of weaned myself off. Admitted that I don't like it in the bottle. I don't like it necessarily, you know, even the fountain's okay, but I love it in the aluminum can. And by the way, I'm not alone. Those people who are addicted, I would say President Trump's in this camp. Yeah. I think Elon is in this camp. They will really only drink it in the can. Maybe it's because of that stuff. And then to your point, Sue, what does that do into our, you know,
you're an
internal
epoxy
system?
Guy.
People keep telling me, you know, I have a brain tumor because that's what, you know, they've gone to with the aspartame.
I don't think I'd go that far.
But no, there have been people that have made that, you know.
But people shouldn't go around saying to other people, you got a brain tumor.
I'm not saying that they did that. I'm saying that they have warned me. And my point has been, look, if that causes a brain tumor, I have one the size of a softball right now in my head. We'll come back with one more segment. Oh, did you have, was that your?
That was the random fact.
Thank God. All right. Today's very confusing to all of us.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
As well as I know, my friend Alex Rich, who's with us here in the studio this afternoon, Fred just asked him a question that's very interesting. You want to repeat that question?
Yeah, I wanted to know, because we're going to talk a little bit about online dating, how he met his fiance.
Yep.
And you get married in like 3 weeks, right?
About 2 or 3 weeks. And unfortunately, I think you're coming. Right,
RSVP. Yeah. Yes. I'm going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. It was the night before COVID shut the world down. We met at a friend's house. Actually, the old fashioned way. Is that what you would say? The old fashioned.
I think it is the old fashioned way.
Yeah, not online, nothing, and we just kind of hit it off.
But then, how do you go on dates right after the world shuts down?
It was tough. It was more ordering pizzas and R.I.P. Frank and Helen's. We ordered Frank and Helen's. Yeah. That was our first.
Well, maybe not a bad way
together.
To go.
No,
Have you ever?
Nice.
This is a personal question though, and I've never used a dating app, and God knows I never will have to. Have you ever used a dating app before?
I used to be on the apps. Yeah.
Okay, so Tinder has this thing now where they're testing out a new height filter to help people connect more intentionally. So they've, I guess they've had some criticism about the screening process. I really don't know how these things work, but they say this is part of a broader effort to help people connect more intentionally on Tinder. Now, I will tell you, I was thinking back in the Mark Reardon dating history, which is not that extensive.
Sure.
But I really honestly believe that there was only one woman who I ever dated who was taller than me. And, you know, this goes back to the 1980s. Now, Alex, you're not exactly 6'8".
Height's not my thing.
Right. So that, I guess what they're trying to do is match people a little better there. Fred, we even mentioned, I think the weight factor might be something that's even more important, only from the, I'm going to sound mean here, right? But there are people that put these pictures up everyone does it. They try to look their best.
No doubt.
They're on Tinder, and then you meet in person, and maybe it's not exactly what you think.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that one. Like the doctor, you know, if you're looking at like height to weight ratio, I'm considered in the obese category.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like the weight factor on Tinder there and that whole like filtering that out, I don't love that.
But I want Susan.
I also don't love
this.
The height thing, obviously.
I don't think taller women typically, now this isn't always the case, but they typically don't date men who are shorter than them, would they?
No, I don't think it's as common, but I don't think it's hideously uncommon either. How about that? Like most people I know are, the men are taller, but every now and then you will see it the opposite, and it's not horrible. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Not like a horribly bad thing.
We're actually kind of going through this right now because, obviously the wedding's coming up. Annie and I I'm about an inch taller, and it'll be interesting to see how tall her heels are. For the wedding day.
Oh.
I'm sure she took this into consideration.
She did. You know, it's not like she just woke up, you know, this morning and thought, maybe I'm going to be taller on the wedding day.
But in other words, for the pictures to kind of look more matched up.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just kind of aesthetically, for me, I'd like to be at least the same height or a little taller.
She can step out of those shoes for those photos.
She can, for sure.
And she wants comfortable feet.
Exactly.
So,
and we're switching into the tennis shoes at the reception. So we have it all set.
I guess I would have thought, you know, having never used any of these apps, but I would have thought maybe that was something that they had already done with the algorithm or taken into account. But
well, you could always list height on there.
Okay.
But I guess I don't know if you have to file your like physical records on there and they have to be legit. I mean, I guess at some point I could have put that I was 6 foot and showed up for a date and
right.
Certainly not been 6 foot.
Just stay seated the whole time.
Right. Yeah. Come over here.
What amazes me is like I was at a wedding reception a couple weeks ago, and we were at a table with two other couples, and they were 20-something couples, 20-year-olds. And both of them, both couples, met online.
Well, it's very common.
It is.
So common.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To me,
I think the stigma of it used to be odd. You know, I actually just officiated a wedding last weekend, and
of course
part
you did.
Of I did,
yes.
And might I say, I'll throw it out there. It was the first gay wedding I've officiated.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I did.
Men or women?
It was men.
Okay.
It was men. It was a lovely ceremony.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure
I performed
was.
It, so it was great.
Right.
and I did. I said that. That was my joke. I was like, hey, I'd like to note this is my first gay wedding. Got a great laugh. But in there, I asked them like their story of how they met, and they openly were like, we met on Tinder and you know, hit it off. So I think it used to be,
Grindr. Yeah,
you're on that one, aren't you?
No, I'm not on that one, but you know that those are separate, right? Those are separate. Hey, I've had enough of you today, let me tell you.
We'll
talk next week. Thanks a lot. We're coming back with Scott Fawn to talk about the special session and how tax money in Missouri is going to be going to Kansas City, apparently. I don't know. We'll find out.
Get more at 971talk.com. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Boy, the afternoon started with all this severe weather. I mean, I was sitting in my office with my boss, truth be told, and both our phones start going off, and then it was fast and furious. We were simulcasting, if you were not with us, our sister station, KMOX, because Dave Murray was on with them. You heard Dave give the forecast here. He joined us in the last hour as well. But I'm seeing some of the images. It doesn't look, I haven't seen a lot of damage. I've seen a couple of things. This is what I can say, and I retweeted this. Somebody posted something that was in Hazelwood, and it sure looked like it was a tornado. Now, I don't know how serious a tornado. They certainly had one that was indicated on radar. Most of what I'm seeing is like flash flooding in St. Peter's,
yes,
part areas of St. Charles. But more and more, you know, pictures are coming in. Move very quickly. Channel 4 has a picture up right now where you kind of have a split sky. On one side, it's cloudy. In the middle, there's a very, very dark, like it just looks like a big plume of smoke, but it's the clouds. And then on the right side of that image, it's sunny. So that's what happens when we get severe weather this time of year. But it was kind of crazy, and we hope everyone's all right, especially because we all went through this just a few weeks ago. We had to reschedule some stuff. I don't know if we'll get Kill Me tomorrow. He was set for today. I know Josh Hammer is going to join us tomorrow afternoon. You hear his show on the weekends here on 97.1 FM Talk. One thing I want to do in the next segment, I have not gotten into this drone strike, Sue, and I'm telling you, when you hear the details of this, it literally sounds like a Mission Impossible movie. With what they did and how they struck Russia. And now, you know, the latest on that is President Trump says he spoke with Vladimir Putin. He had a Truth Social post today, And he said he spoke with Putin for like an hour and 15 minutes. They talked about some of the nuclear stuff. Almost said the bad word there. The nuclear stuff with Iran, which they hope they can both agree on. But then Putin says, yeah, look, I'm going to have to react to this drone strike. So the war continues. The killing continues. If we're being fair here, President Trump said that this thing would be solved relatively quickly. It just drags on and on and on. I've said this before, Sue. I think you've agreed. We're in 2025, and we have two major conflicts on the planet right now that don't seemingly, either really one of them have an end in sight.
Yeah,
or have an end in sight, right? Yesterday at this time, we talked with State Senator Nick Schorr about the special session that is going on right now in Jefferson City. Our friend Scott Faughn, the host of This Week in Missouri, is back with us this afternoon. How are you, Mr. Faughn? Welcome back. Let's see if I can press the right buttons here because... Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Mark. Kind of batting down the hatches from all the rain here. My goodness. No kidding.
Well, that's what I thought, too, and that's why things kind of went off the rails here this afternoon. Now, I know that Nick explained this yesterday, but you're an insider Jeff City guy. For a lot of people listening, it gets confusing. Look, my preference would be we go to a situation where these lawmakers only have to go to Jeff City like every 2 years, like they either do in Nebraska or they used to do in Nebraska, but they are called into a session between a very specific time frame. They have to deliver a balanced budget, which is a good thing, I think, from Missouri, but there are things that still linger that they can't necessarily fit in the time frame, and then they have to call, the governor has to do this, has to call a special session. It's put on the calendar. This one was relatively soon. I think Mike Parson did one that wasn't until August one of these years. So am I basically describing the framework of what's happening this week correctly?
Yes. I mean, the truth is this deal came together a little late in session with the Chiefs and the Royals. And when it came together, you know, they tried to push it through. And I'm going to tell you, Kehoe is so good. You've heard me on this show say before, Mike Kehoe's just a winner. He wins. And he was set up. He had it all set up to go during session. And then the House kind of, I don't want to say they messed up a spending bill. They just skipped one and didn't do it. You had some personalities and stuff getting involved, some of the pettier things of politics. So, it was very hard for legislators, like where I'm from in the Boot Hill, to go back and tell their constituents, well, the House said there wasn't money for a crime lab to test rape kits in the Boot Hill, but there's money for a stadium for the Royals. Let's be honest, a team that doesn't even have fans. So, I mean, I wish.
I don't know. Nobody else is. Yeah, I mean, in fairness to the Royals, they've done a little bit better here than the Cardinals even recently. But I understand your point because we are Cardinal faithful. But even today, Scott, didn't he? And this is where it gets confusing even for me. You sent me this. There's a news release from the governor. It says Governor Kehoe amends the call to the special session. So what does that mean? Where are we at with that?
Well, Governor Kehoe didn't want to include he didn't want to include very much of the things that was settled in that House, and the House didn't pass the bill.
Okay.
So the rest of the Senate's like, I'm not voting for a stadium. The Chiefs, let's be honest, they have more years left on their deal. The Chiefs, they'll get whatever they want whenever they want it, right? This is about the Royals. The Royals know they have to strike while the iron's hot. They have to strike while the Chiefs will let them piggyback. And the senators were like, if you don't fund the projects in my district that matter, I'm not funding a project for a team that, let's be honest, who would miss the Royals if they went to Kansas? People in Kansas City cannot drive to Kauffman just as easy as they cannot drive to Kansas to watch him or to not watch him.
But I would say the follow-up question would be, why, I guess this is politics, right? Why would I vote for that as a member of the legislature here in the St. Louis area anyway, if, as you stated, I don't give a rip if they move over the line there to Kansas? Who cares? So why should we send them any money? And then in the end, is that still on the table or is that off the table?
But I think it's still on the table. I mean, I think they could absolutely go to Kansas. There's two reasons.
No, let me make it clear. My question is a package that offers benefits to the Chiefs and to the Royals, that's part of this special session. So what's the handicap, that is, I guess, what I'm saying?
There's two reasons. One, look at Busch Stadium. They're going to want to renovate that. They've already been talking about it. Just the team was so bad. It kind of had a laugh from everybody. Yeah,
timing, but not right. Right.
They're gonna want to refurbish that. And so, what's good for the goose, they're hoping it'll be good for the gander. And I'll tell you this: Mike Kehoe has the best business background and the best business resume of any governor since Governor Stark. And he says this is a good deal for the state. But people take him at his word. They want to support him. And the governor being sold on this, it brings a lot of senators along, even senators from St. Louis.
So how does that work with the Freedom Caucus members? Because I saw something, and this gets into the weeds a little bit, but Cindy Laughlin, who is one of the leaders in the Senate, you know, I think removed somebody from a committee this week who wasn't going to vote the way that she wanted that person to vote, replaced him with another member. So these are the things that happen behind the scenes in politics, right?
No one's ever called the Freedom Caucus the winning caucus.
Well, I've made that case as well, believe me.
I mean, it's just the truth. I mean, they don't. The score, Mike Kehoe wins. We can, if I had to guess, what happened today when he amended? I mean, Mike Kehoe's been personally working this since 8, 9 o'clock this morning. They were supposed to go in at 10 or 11. They still haven't went in at 5:20. He's been working this deal. Mike Kehoe's a winner, and I'm just going to be candid with you. I know it feels good to fire off mean tweets and goofy things on Facebook, but that doesn't result to winning.
No, I know. Look, and I get that. I really do. Look, one of the things I remember, I've repeated this story a couple of times, but last year when Bill Eigel was running in his race, or when he was raising hell in the Senate, and I like Bill personally, and I understand fiscal sanity, and I don't know if I was a member of the legislature, if I would support all this stuff. I haven't studied it all because there's a lot. Like, even in this amended call to special session, there are 14 different items, and I'll get to a couple of them here in a second. But what people say this, and this is maybe what they're saying at the national level with Rand Paul and Ron Johnson or whoever else. They said, give him hell, Bill. That was somebody who responded on Twitter. I've known Bill Eigel for a long time. You've known him for a long time. I've seen him give a lot of people hell, right? But I don't know what his accomplishments are. So you have to get something done. That's part of the political
process. You don't have to. I think some of the freedom folks have proven you don't have to get anything done. You can just complain on the internet and get nothing done. But look at Nick Shore. On your show, I told you I thought Nick Shore was the most important person in this legislative session before it started. He could have came to kind of do that St. Charles thing, if they want to fit.
Obstructionist, right. But he's not.
Not really accomplished stuff. He came to play.
Yeah.
Nick Shore brought his A game this session, and it was the most successful Republican session in 10 years. Maybe not 10, 8 for sure. It matters. Nick came to play. He came to get stuff done, and he did. And if you were giving out gay balls for session, I don't know who was more important to the successful session than Nick. Now, you know, if he takes that Freedom Caucus and he makes them, I mean, to me, win. Doesn't really matter how much you whine if you never win.
Well, and there are some things, you know, the things that get attention are the money that's going to stadium projects, because most people would say, wait a second, what are we doing here? But there are parts of this that I think are very important. First of all, tornado relief here in the St. Louis area, and hopefully not more because of what happened today. There's also legislation that would limit increases in property tax assessments for residential property in 2025 to no more than 5% compared to the previous year. I read a text message yesterday, Scott, from a friend of mine. He sent this. I'm going to reread this because I said this to Nick, but I think it's important. A lot of people listening right now are probably people who have had this happen. He said, want to see Comedy Hour about our county government. My 25 assessment went from $536,024 to $767,000. So that was a 43% increase. So he did an appeal. This is the better part of it. It gets better. They did an appeal, and then the guy's like, yeah, we adjusted it. It's adjusted from $767 to $851,000. So they didn't reduce the assessment. So that is a 59% increase from year to year. That's what people are facing. And by the way, when he asked for an explanation, they say, well, you got to go through the formal review process, and they close the case. That's what people are realistically dealing with. It's outrageous. So that's an important part of this. I also think
Joe Nicola, give him props. He's the guy that's not a Freedom Caucus guy necessarily, but a very conservative freshman, never served before. He's the one that's getting that done. He stuck to his guns, and the governor of the state of Missouri came to his office, and they made a deal. And Joe Nicola deserves a ton. I agree. The property taxes, you want to know what the biggest problem for schools is? It's not the wokeness, although that is a problem for public schools.
That is a problem.
It's when people start connecting their property tax increases to where that money goes, which is the schools, then schools got a problem.
Yeah.
A legit problem.
Because what's the ROI, right?
Yes. And how many people that have kids that go to private schools and on and on? Public education's biggest problem is in charter schools now. It's when people figure out they're the reason for all these property tax hikes.
Do you know,
then they got a big problem.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list here, and one of the things that I talked about with Nick yesterday, and I don't know if I see it on the list, and by the way, I think I would support this, that there were strong consideration of sending money to the University of Missouri-Columbia to develop a nuclear reactor, because they provide their own power there. So I thought that was kind of fascinating. I don't see it on this new list here.
It's actually not for that.
Oh, it's not,
actually not for that.
Research, it is though, isn't it?
Yeah, they do all sorts of cancer research. They make a lot of cancer medications. And this reactor, that reactor is used 24/7. People will fly here on Christmas Day to use that reactor for major research projects. After I-70 was built, I firmly believe that reactor is the most important piece of infrastructure the state has to address now. $50 million won't even get it done, but it'll show the federal government a real commitment. It'll give Eric Schmidt a much better tool to go push and argue for the federal government to finish his project. It's a huge, huge, important deal. It will actually save people's lives.
But I don't see that on this amended list. So did that get kind of shelved to the future, or am I just misreading this at this point?
I think because initially it's funny, people kept complaining about the call. And I'm like, you don't understand. You've never bought a used car. This is the first offer. The Governor Kehoe last week put the sticker price on the car, right? And now you're actually negotiating. And he's throwing in some new running boards on the truck or tinting the windows for you. Now you're getting the deals. He offered 25. Senator Weber from Columbia was like, no, I get a deal for 50 because now he did a deal to get the reactor money because it's this important. Now they're going to let Missouri State offer some doctorate programs, which they never have. The universities are always opposed. Stephen Weber's from the district that includes the University of Missouri-Columbia. The House, I don't think, quite realized all the things problems they were creating when they did it. And maybe they didn't care. But once all the problems with their plan came out, I think they were a little surprised.
Okay, but Scott, and first of all, none of this is final, right? They have to debate this.
No.
There's nothing that's sent to the governor. There's more. And by the way, of course, the car analogy is perfect because that's how Mike Kehoe started his career at car dealerships. I get all that. But when people hear you talk about this, or even Nick or me, when we talk about this, there is a parallel to what's going on in Washington right now because, well, they'd say, look, all these guys care about is pork. You know, why should our tax dollars go to whatever is in Columbia for the University of Missouri? Why should our tax dollars go for a sports package for the Chiefs or the Royals? A lot of people like to say, you know, it's a NIMBY thing, right? Not in my backyard. We want to support what's here in our backyard, but maybe not the other person's backyard. But that's what I think mainly people who don't understand the process, and most people don't understand the process, maybe in some of the people who are voting on this, it seems like it's excess spending when it's not necessary to the common person out there, doesn't it?
Well, I will tell you this. If you know, there's a lot of folks. I'm not trying to put St. Louis folks down. In fact, I'm coming to St. Louis tomorrow to go to an event with Mark Cox, 97.1 sponsoring, and the Lodge of DePere. We're going to have a legislative recap. But there's some folks think St. Louisans might be a little arrogant. And not everybody just wants to give them tornado assistance because, well, you've got Rams money and all this other stuff.
Right.
And if you didn't like the Pride Day at the Royal Stadium, how much you want to bet? I don't know this. Bet you there's a Pride Day at Bush. Bet you there's a Pride Day that a lot of city resources go into facilitating. So how far do you want to go down that rabbit hole? It works for everybody.
Right. I understand.
So you
that.
Either understand you have to give and take, or nobody gets anything.
Well, I understand there has to be give and take. That's sort of the analogy that I've been using at the federal level as well. Scott, I have to go. I didn't know you were doing that with Mark Cox. Have fun with that tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, well, have a good time. Thanks, buddy.
Right.
Be safe.
So he just reminded me of something, Sue. I thought this was brilliant. The Colorado Rockies because it's Pride Month. I mentioned that at the beginning of show, right? Of course, we have to honor that. So the Colorado Rockies put out a tweet that says, Happy Pride, because they all have to virtue signal, mm-hmm. and they show the rainbow color. And it says, Celebrate at Coors Field with us on 6-6, rockies.com/themes. Are you aware of where the Colorado Rockies are in the standings and that they might be perhaps the worst record at the end of the season in baseball history?
No, okay. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. It's just awful. I mean, the last time I looked, they had won only 6 games or something like that. It might be up to 9 or 10. So somebody tweets this out to the Pride tweet. It says, I am not comfortable with the idea of young children being exposed to something as morally questionable as Colorado Rockies baseball. That's where I love the clever people and the creative people on the X, formerly Twitter. We're coming back. I'm going to share this story about the drone attack in Russia. It is like a Mission Impossible movie.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
We're going to get back into the actual process of the big, beautiful bill. My friend, former Congressman Rodney Davis from Illinois, is going to join us here with his perspectives in a couple of minutes. I have some great audio for Audio Cut of the Day. But I have to get into this, and we got really thrown off today because of the severe weather. And I hope everyone's okay, and I hope you have your power on and everyone's safe this afternoon. But I criticize journalism quite a bit, and we keep these reporters in check. I've been talking about media bias almost as long as Bernard Goldberg has, and he wrote his book Bias, I think, in 1998. But when there's good journalism and there's good reporting, I think we need to highlight that as well. And there's some really good reporting in the Wall Street Journal today about this Ukrainian drone operation that really devastated the bomber fleet in Russia. I mentioned President Trump addressed this with Vladimir Putin today, and Putin said, look, we're going to strike back. That's what I guess happens in war. But listen to the way that this happened. The Russian Air Force is pummeling Ukraine's power stations and cities with missiles because they have the ability to do that. They have very limited air defenses in Ukraine. Volodymyr Zelensky wants to know, how can we fight back? So there's a guy by the name of Lieutenant General Vasyl Malyuk, who's 42-year-old career security officer. He's not 42 years old. He's been in this for 42 years, broad shoulders. They say a stern, you know, reputation. He's earned a reputation for innovative operations with explosive naval and aerial drones that forced Russia to withdraw much of the Black Sea Fleet from its base in occupied Crimea. And, you know, they've damaged oil plants and military production facilities deep inside Russia. But this was a different ask, and it was formidable. So they say the strategic bombers that launched many of Russia's most powerful missiles operate from beyond the range of Ukraine's air defense systems. They're based at airfields across the country. Some of them, you know, you can think of the globe, you can think of the map. Russia is huge, right? Some of them as much as 3,000 miles from Ukraine. So the SBU security service, which this guy Malyuk heads, they deploy long-range aerial drones effectively, but they're very vulnerable to the Russian air defenses, including missile interceptors and jammers and stuff like that. They have advanced technology, a lot more advanced than Ukraine. So Malyuk and his team come up with this plan, and it is incredible, especially with the audacity. They smuggle Ukrainian drone parts into Russia. They assemble them at a secret location. Then the SBU operatives inside Russia use truck drivers that didn't know it was happening to deliver a modern version of the Trojan horse by concealing the drones in the roofs of the wooden containers. So the truck drivers have no idea what's happening. On Sunday, the roofs, activated remotely, tell me this doesn't sound like a movie, slid open on the trucks close to the Russian air bases, released all these drones, adding a dash, as they say in the Wall Street Journal, of transformers to old-school spycraft. More than 100 quadcopters, that's what they call them, small drones with four rotators, emerge from these trucks. They zip toward the targets, some descending through billowing smoke from already damaged aircraft. And one of the things that's great, Sue, about the Wall Street Journal reporting, I've read two versions of this, I like the Journal's reporting better, is they use the images and the video, and they'll show you where the damage took place. It is incredible. Now, they say they've done an analysis of the statements that they've made claims of in the Ukrainian government with Zelensky, but they've matched those claims up with the satellite images and people who knew the operation. And the photographs, see, this is where you get into a situation where information comes out of Gaza and then, you know, lefty publications run with it like the BBC, and then you find out what really happened. So in this particular case, the claims are made by the Ukrainians, but they also back it up with the goods. So you have all these photographs and videos that are on social media. It shows how meticulously the operation was. It was homegrown technology with the classic art of deception. They say they damaged 41 warplanes valued at $7 billion at four bases using drones that cost about, you want to take a
how much? I have no
idea. $2,000 each.
Wow.
Think about that. Just $2,000 for each of these drones. They say in the Wall Street Journal reporting, publicly available videos and satellite imagery showed 12 damaged planes across two air bases. The quote from Sam Lair, who is a research associate at the James Martin Center for Nonproliferation Studies in Monterey, California, says the numbers the Ukrainians have been providing aren't backed up yet by hard evidence, but he says it is clear that this has dealt a very heavy blow to the Russian bomber force, even if we're not seeing the numbers that they've claimed. So there is a little discrepancy in the numbers, but if they match up the satellite images and the pictures, it shows that they really had a big thump on Russia. Now, the bad news is Putin's going to strike back, so I don't know what that means. But fascinating the way they did this, sneaking him into Russia. Rodney Davis is coming up. It's time now to stay down. Audio cut of the day coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Here is Jason Smith. He was with us last week. He, of course, is a Missouri congressman and the chair of the powerful House Ways and Means Committee on the big, beautiful bill. Elon Musk broke bad on President Trump yesterday. Here's what Jason says.
This bill delivers on all of President Trump's priorities that he campaigned on and 77 million Americans picked on. The largest tax cut in U.S. history, the largest mandatory spending cuts of $1.69 trillion in U.S. history, including we're repealing more than $500 billion of the IRA, the Green New Tax Scam, including $200 billion of the EV tax credits. We also have the most significant welfare reforms in U.S. history, all within this bill. This is a very conservative bill.
So you have this thing called the Congressional Budget Office, and Caitlin Collins from CNN asked Carolyn yesterday, hey, the CBO says it's going to add all this money. Well, even Rand Paul kind of agrees with that. Here's Jason's answer on that.
It is transformational from trying to reset government, but when people use the fake accounting notion coming from the Congressional Budget Office saying that just extending the current tax law will create trillions of dollars to the deficit is just bogus math.
All right, so former Illinois Congressman, my friend Rodney Davis is here. He's going to shoot straight with you on the process here and the bill. How are you? It's been a little while since we've caught up.
I'm doing great, my man. Waiting for my Raiders to take down your Chiefs this year.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to happen.
You're going to start with that. Yeah, after the Chiefs get some tax dollars from me and other people here in the St. Louis area. But let's stick to the federal issue here. I'm very curious about what your position is, because obviously you have some people. I mentioned Rand Paul and others. Josh Hawley's throwing a flag at some of the Medicaid cuts. Are they cuts? Are they not cuts? Is it just a reduction in spending? Sometimes we say, why can't we go back to previous spending levels? You know the swamp. Speak, Rodney Davis. So what's your take on the big, beautiful bill? Elon Musk says it's an abomination.
Yeah, I agree with Chairman Jason Smith. This is historic tax cuts for the American people across all income levels. And it's also one of the largest, if not the largest, cut to the mandatory spending in this country. Remember, the mandatory side of the ledger, which are America's entitlement programs, you could shut government down. You could shut the discretionary side of the budget down, which includes Department of Defense. And you know what? Still 75-80% of your federal tax dollars are going out the door.
That's so important. Let me stop you. I made that point this week a couple of times, and that's so important. It really is. But continue, please.
No, it's that mandatory, those mandatory cuts, you know, making sure that people who use Medicaid actually should have access to Medicaid. And I think most Americans would agree that if you're willing, if you're an able-bodied adult and you're not working, and if the government helps pay to get you trained and pairs you up with a job so that you don't need Medicaid anymore, I think that's a good thing. I think the American people think it's a good thing. And that's exactly what Chairman Smith and the Republicans in the House did.
But I'm watching Fox, for example, during the day. I'm at my home. I'm monitoring things. And I'm seeing ad after ad from Josh Hawley talking about no Medicaid cuts. He's playing the lingo game. Hey, we're not going to touch your Medicaid. I'm there for you. So how do you respond to that messaging?
Well, I'm not in your media market, so I don't see those ads. So I really can't comment on them specifically. But, you know, the one thing that I've learned during my time in Congress is that, you know, you get to a point where you can begin to negotiate what your priorities are. And I'm sure Senator Hawley and his fellow senators are going to get to that point. And hopefully they'll come up with a compromise that will be principled enough for Senator Hawley to support it.
But outside of that, whatever happens here, because I think there's a fair amount of confidence that in some way, shape or form, the big, beautiful bill will get to the president's desk, right? Outside of that, what are the, because this is, there's a limitation here to what they can do with some of the discretionary spending because of the reconciliation process, right? Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, remember, the mandatory side of this, if you had a federal budget, 75 to 80% of those dollars, we'll just say 75 right now. So 3/4 of a pie chart would be eaten up by Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and some miscellaneous mandatory programs throughout other federal agencies. 25%, the last pie in that pie chart, would be discretionary spending. Very important spending levels, defense, health and human services, education, agriculture, et cetera, commerce. You know, those are things that people really support. That 25% of the pie, because of the reconciliation process that is being used, that Democrats use to pass the IRA and the ARA and other bills, that discretionary side of the ledger, you can't touch.
Yeah.
That's through the normal appropriations process or the continuing resolution or the omnibus that you will hear that language every September. And so Republicans in the House had to address spending cuts in the mandatory side of the ledger to meet the Senate rules. And that's what they're debating right now. And that's why I think most Americans would agree. Addressing the drivers of the debt and the deficit, which is the 75% of that pie chart, is where you really start to make a dent in overspending in Washington.
Right. But my position has been, simply because I've talked about this for literally 3 decades, there doesn't seem to be intestinal fortitude on either side of the equation to really tackle the out of control spending on that side. And there have to be some tough calls perhaps made in the future. But the future is kind of now, and they're not making tough calls.
Well, they just did make tough calls. I mean, they just did they just passed historic cuts in mandatory spending by making sure that people who were using programs like Medicaid actually deserve to be able to use them. And people who can work that are using those programs actually, you know, maybe
no,
it'll be paired
that.
With the
yeah.
job.
I understand that. I've heard the case being made, and Jason made that case last week. On the CBO front, because it does seem interesting to me, when Republicans don't have control, they criticize the CBO, or the Democrats criticize the CBO, and then vice versa. What's your opinion of the CBO and the way that they do this? Because what I was explaining to someone earlier is we have these tax cuts that you may have even, did you vote for the tax cuts? You were there in 2017, right?
I did. I crafted the bill.
Right. So if we get to a situation where we don't have something that gets to the president, well, all of that goes away. But if we keep those in place, which I think we're going to, that's deemed new spending in some weird Washington swamp way, right? Just letting people, allowing people to have more of their money, not allowing government or Washington to confiscate their money. The CBO calculates that as new spending?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I will tell you, when we as Republicans were in the majority or the minority, we still complained about the accounting gimmicks that the CBO did. Because just like right now, just like you just explained and Chairman Smith explained earlier, it's a gimmick. And what they're saying is that under your current tax rates, most Americans just filed their taxes, and the tax refund or the taxes they owed were a certain amount based upon the tax rates that we lowered for every American family in 2017. Unfortunately, those tax rates for individuals and families and small businesses were set to expire at the end of this year. So if Congress does nothing, Americans, every small business, every family in America will see the largest tax increase that they've seen in American history all at once. And that is why Congress, under the leadership of Chairman Smith, acted. They're the reason why that they kept those tax rates where they are. But the CBO says, hey, you should just let that expire.
Right.
Otherwise, it's an increase in federal spending because if you didn't do your job, we would make more money. Therefore, it's a cost. It's absurd.
It is absurd. Hey, will you be coaching third base at this year's congressional baseball game?
I will. And Eric Schmidt is in such good shape. There's no way I'm stopping him at third. On a hit to the wall.
That's
again.
What I've heard. Senator Schmidt's going to try to join us either tomorrow or early next week. When is the game? Remind me on the date of the game.
The game is June 11th, Wednesday,
okay.
June 11th. And the Republicans, I've been at scrimmage last night. I practiced again with them this morning. Schmidt was hitting the snot out of the ball.
There we go.
It's going to be a shellacking,
right.
I hope, again.
All right. Thank you, Rodney. I appreciate it.
See you, Mark.
All right, Rodney was part of the battery with John Shimkus. Rodney was the catcher many years at the congressional baseball game when they were getting shellacked by the Democrats. The Republicans have the advantage right now, and Eric Schmidt's a big part of that. Audio cut of the day is coming up. Oh, man, that's the band I used to love in the 80s, the Del Lords. They are on the bumper music list today. This song is called I Play the Drums. If you ever want to check out any of the music, I do kind of a mix, as some people know, of alternative music and classic rock. This would be in the maybe the 80s category of alternative rock, if you will, the Del Lords. But just a great, great band. So I put that up on Spotify, and I will blast it out on the X, formerly Twitter, here in a matter of moments. I finally figured out, Sue, I think I told you this, I can write these things out, and I do my playlist in the morning, and then I create the X, or the tweet, whatever you want to call it, and then I can save it as a draft. So when the show's over, I press boom, and it goes. And,
yeah, that's kind of great.
I think smarter people than me have been doing that for a while, but I figured out how to do it. Let's do this here this afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, it's been a very, very busy day, and there's a lot of audio that I not get to today that I may follow up on tomorrow. But you know how much we love Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's at a hearing. This is actually yesterday, and it involves St. Louis, to tell you the truth. He is grilling a law professor by the name of Kate Shaw, and he has a real special exchange here. He brings up this comment from her podcast, which is in April of last year, where she referred to Supreme Court justices as evil. Now, she is an ABC News contributor, which makes me even laugh more. She's a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania Carey Law School. She's also been married to Chris Hayes since 2007. Chris Hayes is one of the biggest lefty nonsense people out there in media. So the case that they were talking about was the majority opinion in something called Muldrow versus the city of St. Louis. And I don't even know anything about that case, but what I do know is that John Kennedy just slays her here.
Said, quote, Justice Kagan, I mean, will she be able to control the opinion's future distortion by her evil colleagues? Probably not, end quote. Who are you talking about?
I'm very skeptical. If it's a transcription, it was probably a transcription error. I don't refer to Supreme Court justices as evil in the classroom,
on
sir.
On your podcast, April 22nd, 2024, and you're an officer of the court, and you're here advising us to be respectful of federal judges, and you say they're evil members of the United States Supreme Court, gag me with a spoon.
You get him, John Kennedy. Now, what's funny about that, Sue, is I swear, as soon as we heard gag me with a spoon, I say to Ethan and Fred, we have to get the clip from, you remember the movie?
Oh, is
Clueless.
It Clueless?
It is. But you know what's funny? If you Google that, you cannot find that damn clip anywhere.
Really?
There must be a copyright reason.
Oh,
maybe somebody owns that phrase. John Kennedy, though, used it expertly in that hearing. And that is your audio cut of the day. Have a great night. We'll go out with the Delords. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Hopefully a little bit more settled tomorrow after a crazy day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.